Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's let Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington, is going to call up in and sing a song that Chrystia Lane made famous way back when. I'm going to play a little six string for Jenny. I'm standing back of her. She sings one.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy.
Church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
a memory.
Oh, what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
the old country church. Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we come in prayer for our brother, Jerry Coates. Father, you know what the problem is, and you know how to heal it. We are asking for healing for him, Father. He is needed in this ministry. Be with him now, Father, and give him that healing. And my wife, Father, we're asking for healing for her also. And for anyone else that's listening, Father, as we get into this service this evening and we get back into your words, may they walk in faith, believing your promises and standing on them. And if they need healing, they can receive that healing, Father, this evening. They need knowledge, Father, we pray that they'll receive the knowledge that is needed and the wisdom to use it, Father, to help others along the way, to help to bring in the harvest and to bring those that are walking in darkness from and out of darkness and unto the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service and have the words, Father, that are spoken this evening be your words and not mine. Because, Father, I don't want them to be of my mind, of my thoughts. I want them to be from your record that is given to me by the Holy Spirit, so that they'll be spoken with power and that we can see the work of the Lord Jesus Christ done as this service goes on. Now be with us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be continuing on in Acts, the book of Acts. And we'll be in the 15th chapter. Give you just a minute to get there so that all of you can be with me as we go and we see God's word. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wore crowns upon his head and stripes upon his body, many stripes upon his body. His hands and feet nailed to the cross. Not because he had sinned or was sick or anything. He did it for you and I so that we could go from this life into eternity with eternal life with him. And that we'd not have to sit and serve for Satan and his demons and those that would not walk with God in that lake of fire. Pray that through these services that there'll be those that will turn from darkness to light. And that light being Jesus. Now here in verse 1, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see, we were talking this morning and I told you then that if you obey the law in one point for salvation, then you would have to obey it in all points. They couldn't and didn't do it, so what makes you think you can? But we have something far greater than what they had, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God within us, helping to hold us up. Now, we've been told that God puts angels around us to keep us in the right way, help us from falling. You see, we need to walk according to this word. And that's why you hear me tell you so many times and so often. I walk around no subject, and I walk around no one. I'm going to give you the truth of God's word as it is written. That's why I want all that will join with me online or wherever. Have your Bible with you and follow me so you will know that it is the word of Almighty God and his power. It's not mine. I don't have any other than what he gives me. When it's given to me by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, it's not mine. And all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory goes back to him. Verse 2 here. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. You see, they're trying to drag them out of the Word of God, bring them back under the law of Moses. But now they're asking them to come back to the apostles and the elders there in Jerusalem. Well, those apostles and elders in Jerusalem, if they are the children of God, they'd be fine, because they'd be preaching the same thing that Paul and Barnabas was. But if they be of those proselytes and all, then there's going to be a lot of questions arise. Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. You see, the Gentile people were just now being able to receive the word of Almighty God. And they were also receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That hadn't happened until Jesus Christ, until his death and resurrection, and after the days of Pentecost, because it was then that the church age began. You know, now this word is for all men. Does it mean that God's against the Jews? No. In fact, when you become the child of God, you have been adopted into the Jewish family. Without the Jews, you and I would not even be Christians today. Because without them, we wouldn't have the Word of God. This Bible was written by Jewish men as they were led by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Think about it. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. They're letting the apostles and all the elders there at Jerusalem know what God had been doing with them as they were out traveling. Because, you see, they was doing the work of apostles, but also as an evangelist. Because that's what an evangelist does. He goes from place to place declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they're letting them know what had been going on with them and how God had been using them. Now, here's verse 5. And as we were talking this morning, and have been talking even before, problems we have today It's nothing new. The church has had its troubles from the very beginning. Verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. You see, they want to contradict all of Barnabas and all the others are preaching when they preach the gospel and drag them back in under the law. Christ's death and resurrection fulfilled the Mosaic law and brought something new to mankind, making a better way for you and I to be able to make heaven our home. And if we miss heaven, it is not the Lord's fault. It's your fault. Because you would not believe in the Word of God. We've got a lot of them out there today teaching contrary to God's Word in many, many different ways. And when they stand before the Lord Jesus, because one day they will, because he will be our judge, they're going to find out just how wrong they have been. In my years, I have watched the church weaken and continue to weaken, continue to get contrary to the word of Almighty God. Until now, it's not just a weakness, but it is sin and abominations that the churches are letting in today. Think about it. We'll be getting into more of that later on. Now, and the six, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. You see, now they're coming together to decide on what they're going to accept and what they are not going to accept and what they're going to do about them and not do about them. Here in verse 7, it says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You see, these Jews that are still trying to bring the Gentile people under the law, we know that Peter was one of the first used for God to accept a Gentile person. And he did that when Cornelius sent for him. And Peter went to his house. And we're told in the scripture that he and his household accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, verse 8. May God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he said, he's given to them, just like he did us. And we know that when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, you have been given a gift of tongues. That is an evidence for you and for those around you. And he's letting them know here, we know that on the day of Pentecost, when God gave all of them the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were all speaking with tongues. We're told they all spoke with tongues. Now, he goes on here in 9, and he said, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. There's no difference between you and I and the Jewish people that are believers in the Lord our God. Only those that are unbelievers, and we have them among our people also. In fact, we have more of them than we have believers. And one day, all of the non-believers, all that will not walk with God, Jew and Gentile, find themselves in that lake of fire with Satan. And during that kind of pain and torment, throughout eternity, and no way out. And they can't blame God. God made a way, and he gave them a choice. And they chose to walk the other way instead of choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He's asking them, why do you want to put this yoke upon them that our fathers couldn't bear it, and neither could we? Because they know that they wasn't living their lives without sin in it, because the law couldn't take away sin. It would cover the sins of the past year they done, but it wasn't taking away the sins that they shouldn't be committing. Verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And we know that we can be today, because there is no difference. And we can be saved just as they were. But we have to do it according to the plan of salvation, which we covered when we first began going through this book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse 38. It told us to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and ask him for forgiveness of our sins and ask him to come into our lives, that we are giving our lives to him. And then we are to see the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We are to be baptized. we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ through baptism. We're not baptized anymore for repentance. We done that when we went to Jesus. Now John the Baptist, he baptized for repentance. Because you see, Jesus had not yet paid the price for you and I. He was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. And was showing them a better way to be able to reach Jesus. But on that day of Pentecost, when all had been fulfilled, and Jesus was back in heaven, and he sent that Holy Spirit back to you and I, it all changed. And that's something we better remember. Or we're not going to make heaven our home. Now, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now they're trying to find out everything that was going on with Paul and Barnabas. Because you see, Paul was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be the apostle to the Gentile people. He was the apostle chosen for you and I. And he wrote a lot of the books of the New Testament. Think about it. He wrote more of the books of the Bible than anyone else. Because he was chosen by God himself. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now he's telling them, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You see, God knows who will stand and who won't. We don't. But he does. But that is why you and I are to be workers in the field of harvest. We are to get out there and spread and share the word of Almighty God. We can't give the increase, but we can share his word and then gives the increase himself. He'll bring those in that really wants to serve him. You see, everyone that says they want to serve Jesus don't really mean it. They're just saying that with their mouth. It don't come from the heart because their heart is not right with God. Just a few chapters back, do you remember Simon the sorcerer? Said he had become a believer even? And then what did he want to do when he saw what the apostles were doing about laying their hands on people and them receiving the Holy Spirit of Almighty God? He wanted to buy it from them. But it didn't work, did it? They told him. And they told him why. because they told him that your heart is not right in the sight of Almighty God. You know, that's something that you and I need to really think about and never forget, is that is going, and the things that God is wanting you and I to do and to accomplish. Think about it. We need to be spending more time in the Word and with God in prayer, because we need to get the things of this world out of our lives and reach for things in the kingdom of Almighty God. And then we don't have to put up with sickness and disease and sin and all that stuff in our lives. Yes, there'll be things come against us, but we don't go through it by ourselves, and it don't last. The Lord will go through it with us for so long, then he'll bring us out of it, and he brings us out of it in a lot better shape and a lot stronger than we was when we first went into it. Nothing we done. It's him and his love for us and his blessings pours out upon us that gives us these things and the ability and the knowledge and the wisdom that we need in order to be that child of God. Now, Verse 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Okay? As it is written. Here is what has been written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. It is God that does it all. Yes, he will use men, because he lives and makes his abode in us as well as heaven. And he needs us. He needs our voice. He needs our hands and our feet to move around and get around and to speak. But we speak those things that he gives to us. And if we're not speaking those things that God gives to us, then we need to keep our mouths shut. Think about that. Because we have so many right now doing just the opposite. And we're seeing more and more and more and more of it every day. Because we are coming closer and closer and closer to the time and the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back on that cloud and call his church, his people, out of this world. And they will go and meet him in the air. And they'll stay with him for a short period of time. Until then, he does return back to this earth for the second time and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and it'd be bringing them back with him. That's what the Word of God tells us. But what are you doing? You that are listening to me on Blog Talk, you that are listening to me on YouTube, how are you walking? Is that the way you are living your life? Verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Yes, God knows from the beginning. He doesn't forget. He knows everything about you. You see, you and I don't know really when our beginning was, but he does. Because he's the one that spoke you and I into being. Oh no, my mother and daddy came together. They came together sexually, and they brought me into this world. I don't care how your mother and dad came together. If the Lord had not spoken you into being, you would not be here. He's the one that put that light. You. That's why that all these abortions that's been going on is murder. Only God has the right to take the life out of this world. It's not a woman's choice. No. It's murder. And we've committed an awful lot of it. But our churches has accepted it as being a woman's choice. Just as they've accepted a lot of other things that is against the word of Almighty God. Word of God tells us we shall not kill. But you do it, don't you? 60-some-odd million babies been aborted. Then we wonder why our land is in the shape it's in. Homosexuality is being accepted into a lot of our churches as an alternate lifestyle. Oh, it's all right. It's just an alternate lifestyle. The Word of God said it's an abomination unto God. You see, that's why we have Bible study. It's to learn these things. Because we are told what we can and can't do and be all right in the eyes of God. Now, Verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. He's telling them, don't trouble them of the Gentile nations that have turned to God. You see, that's what some of those Jews is asking. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. We know we're not to have idols. We're not to have any other God except God himself, the great I am. And we're not to commit fornication. Most don't even know what fornication is. That is sexual conduct between two people that are not married. And it's wrong. And from things strangled and from blood. We're not to just drink blood. See, there was a time they did. We're not to do that. Now, for Moses of old time, as in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. You see, he's telling us there that they are still preaching and reading Moses, the law, in a lot of their synagogue every Sabbath day. Now, their Sabbath day is on Saturday. Okay, now, 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed for Jesus, or Barsabbas for them, and Silas, chief men among the brothers. They're wanting to send them to Antioch now. They spent a lot of time in Antioch, off and on, because they went there several different times. 22. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria and Cilicia. This is who they're writing these letters. They wrote this letter to. He goes on here in 24 and says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. He's letting them know. Because all of these apostles and things of that day and time were Jewish people. And it was the Jewish men that were telling them all, you can't just go by that to be saved. You've got to be circumcised. Anything to drag them back under the law. So today, our churches are not using that you got to be circumcised because they found out we don't have to be. We do circumcise today, but it's not for religious reasons. It's for cleanliness. But most of our male babies are circumcised today when they're born. But it's done for cleanliness and to keep infection and stuff that way down. It has nothing to do with a religious belief. And he's letting them know. We did not send them out there to do it. So they're wrong. Now, 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. He said, we think it's good for us to send others. Now with Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they did. They walked in risk of their lives daily because they would not stop preaching the gospel of Jesus and bringing people to become believers. They were stoned and beaten and jailed. They were beheaded. And you know John, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John, the one that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, they tried to boil him in oil. But you know, God was with him, just like he was the three Hebrew children they threw into a fiery furnace. They threw three in there, the three Hebrew children. But then the king seen four of them walking around because the Lord was in there with them. And when they come out of there, their clothes wasn't even scorched and didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Here they tried to boil John in oil. That didn't work either. They couldn't cook him. And he wrote the book of Revelations while there. When you will really and truly walk with God, nothing this world throws at you can overcome you. But you've got to put it all in God's hands. 27. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. He's letting them know they're not going to get anything different. They're going to be hearing the same thing. Because these are going to be the same witness. For it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. The necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. Don't listen to a lot of this about you've got to be circumcised and come under the law. These are the things you need to be watching out for. Because you see, a lot of that was going on in that day and time. 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitudes together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. You see, they're delivering the same words that had been taught before them. And they're rejoicing in the consolation it was bringing. And in verse 32, the Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. They confirmed them. And after they had carried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Silas stayed there for a while. And Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. You see, they didn't flinch about the things God would send them to do. And it didn't matter what they came up against. Not at all. Because they had the Holy Spirit of Almighty God with them in the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew they were safe. That nothing was going to touch them or harm, bring them to harm until their job was done. And that's why just before Paul was killed, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have run a good race. He was letting them know, my work is finished. And that's what we need today, is men that will stand and declare this gospel and not walk away from things that will come against him, and do it until the time for him to step out of this life and into the next, where he can sin and repeat the same thing that Paul did and say, I have fought a good fight. I have run a good race. My work is finished. I am going home to be with my Lord and Savior. Think about it. Now, you see, there was two of them here in this chapter that had a little disagreement. It wasn't that they committed sin, but they had a disagreement. We'll find out about more what come about this disagreement later on. But as of right now, I'll be reading these next few verses as we close. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, Paul is telling Barnabas, let us go back to these cities where we've preached. And let's see how they're doing. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But you see, Mark had made a journey trip with them part of the way, and then he walked out away from them. He left them. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. But Paul wasn't wanting to take him. So, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. In other words, they split. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. You see, their disagreement caused them to split. Now, it didn't mean they went into sin or they done anything that was a sin. They just didn't agree on that one. But evidently, Barnabas had more faith in Mark than Paul did. And he took it. And Paul took Silas. And here in the last verse, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Paul did. Paul went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And today, if you were to travel through this county even, county which you and I are living in, you'd find so many things to be in disagreement with because of the weakness that is in a lot of our churches. Not all, because we've got some good churches out there, but they are few and they are far between. And it doesn't matter what denomination or anything. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, they built these denominations because they built walls. And they was told not to do it. But you see, they done that anyway. You say, oh, they ain't walls built there. It's just a name, no. It is a wall. You see, because I'm Baptist and you're Methodist, so I can't have anything to do with you. I don't go to your church, and you ain't going to come to mine. I'm Pentecostal, You're Presbyterian. See what I'm talking about? It's walls. And we were told not to build. There's only one church. And that's why you see most of the churches named in the Bible are named after the places where they sat. There wasn't walls built because there was only one thing being preached. And that was the word of Almighty God. We're going to close with that. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word, because your word tells us how to live, Father, how we can have life eternal, how we can serve you, serve the Lord, serve the Holy Spirit. Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, I ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. Your word justice too. And we do. Because, Father, we know our roots lay with Israel, with the Jewish people. But, Father, even more than praying for peace for them, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, had no excuse whatsoever, because they really knew better than to do some of the things they did. They took Jesus out of every place he was in. Didn't even want his name being used in prayer. Father, they went against your church and against your people. I'm asking, Father, for all of your children here in this land, Holy Spirit, bring us together in our beliefs. So when it comes time for our election, we can remove from office those that are against the church, that's against Jesus, and against God's people, and replace them with ones that will work for Jesus, for the church, and will work with us. Help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we come to a close, for all that will receive this message this day, I pray for healing for them. Healing of mind, healing of body, and that they all will see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are in darkness to come out of darkness into light, that light being Jesus. And those that are beginning to walk as believers, that they continue to grow, Father, making themselves available and useful to you to be used to help to bring in the harvest. Because your word tells us that the harvest is ripe, but that the workers are few. Use us, Father, here in this ministry in great and mighty ways, not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and bring your children home to you, Father. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, myself, James Taylor, Gary Coates, Amelia Johnson, Sue and David Branson, all of our families, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, Father, may they all turn to Jesus, knowing they need him. And let their lives be changed so that none be lost. And all will be able to make heaven their home. Cliff, the little church down the street here, Father, don't let this little church close. They've been altered a way to stay open. You're the way maker. Not my, just my will be done, but your will be done, Father. Yes, I would love to be there. But your will be done. And put me where you want me to be. Now watch over me, Father. Watch over all of us, keeping us safe day and night through this coming week, and bring us all back together again come Thursday evening at 5 p.m. So until then, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.